Here we are, 7:45 on a Saturday morning. Time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Denny. How are you doing today?
Thanks for asking. I'm doing quite well. You and I keep talking about summertime weather here, and it didn't change today. Here it is, October 5. We could hit 80 again today, and we have such astute listeners. Before we even get on to the meat and potatoes here of the show, a listener wants to know, with this fall sale, so they're aware of your sale at Haskell's, are there going to be wine tastings today? Any kind of wants to know, with this fall sale, so they're aware of your sale at Haskell's, are there going to be wine tastings today? Any kind of tastings?
Oh, yes. So we could start out that direction first, but yes, there'll be our grand tasting today at all the locations from 1 to 4 o'clock, where you can come in and, like we love to say, you can try before you buy.
Yeah, good. Well, that's we wanted to get that solved right away. But what else can we chat about today?
Well, currently, Denny, I am out in Spokane, Washington, and kind of kicking the dirt out here in Washington to look at their wineries and all that. And believe it or not, Washington State, the second largest wine producing state in the country, only behind California. And they have a very, very unique climate to do that. The one interesting thing about that is they've, because of the Cascade Mountains, they have what they call a rain shadow. Now, what that means is all the humidity or all the weather that comes off the ocean basically gets blocked by the Cascade Mountains. So on the other side of the Cascade Mountains, which is the side I'm on currently, the eastern side, it's very little precipitation, only about 8 to 9 inches a year. I mean, it's very dry. It's almost desert-like. But it's interesting because the wine-growing region in Washington is in the center of the state, the Columbia Valley. It isn't a little bit like Napa Valley. It's so spread out. You know, Napa Valley's real condensed. Columbia Valley is just huge. It's like 60,000 acres. I mean, it's just a massive amount. And that's one reason why, you know, the Washington wine industry is still trying to find its own identity, because, you know, you can always go up the Napa Valley and you kind of drive up and down the Highway 29, very, you know, small, condensed. This is so spread out. It's all over. And even staying here in Spokane to get out to wine region is about a 2.5 hour drive east. And then even if you're in Walla Walla, which is kind of hard to get to anyway, it's still about an hour drive north. And if you're in Seattle, it's a 2 or 3 hour drive to the east. So, you know, it's a little bit to get to the actual grapes and to get to the wineries. It's a little bit difficult to do, but it is a great growing region. So terrific because, you know, the Columbia Valley itself and the river, you know, they do a lot of irrigation from it. The interesting thing about the soil contents as well in this area, it's, you know, this alluvial soil, a lot of old lava fields and things like that, real rocky. And the interesting thing about that basalt salt or soils that they have, it almost makes it 100% phylloxera proof, where these wines, they've never had a phylloxera problem here because of the particular dirts and things like that. So it's a very sustainable area. The one thing, though, where as far as, let's say, their identity is, they're still working on it. They can grow so many terrific grape varietals, whether it is Cabernet, Merlot, but they had German influence when they planted a lot of this back in the 1840s. They're still grow Wurzdemeiner. You still see Riesling. You still see Sauvignon Blanc and definitely Chardonnay. So they're trying to get it. Now, right now, they have it's about 20 AVVs, American Viticultural Areas, in which they kind of realize that the geography, the climate is such that they can kind of narrow that down and kind of pinpoint it so it's its own little area like we see all throughout the wine world in the United States. But they're getting there, and they're kind of slowly and steadily developing how to do that. But on the tourism side, it can be a little bit difficult to get people out into the wine country because it's so far away and whatnot. So what a lot of the wineries have done is in Seattle, there's a small little area to the east of Seattle called Woodinville. Now, that's also the home of Chateau St. Michel, one of the biggest wine producers, definitely the biggest in the state, one of the biggest ones in the country. What they did is they set up shop right outside of Seattle where they bring all the wine there and make it and or sell it. So what you're seeing in and around there, which is kind of fun for tourism's sake, is you can go into Seattle, you know, you go to the markets and do all that. But then you can just a quick half an hour drive to the east in Woodinville, you see all these small different wineries just have their tasting rooms there rather than tasting rooms way out in the, you know, 2 hour, 2.5 hour drive where you can just go right outside of Seattle and try some of these great wines. One of my favorite ones is it's called Second Growth Cabernet from the Columbia Valley. I mean, it's so affordable, but it's so rich and big. It's just a great, great bottle of wine, but it's such a terrific growing area here because they have just the right climates for it. But the hard part is, you know, the winery, the vineyards themselves are a little bit geographically undesirable for the, you know, tourism because, you know, you have to get in the car for so long to drive and go visit them. So they're smart enough to say, hey, let's bring the wines to the people. So you're seeing these tasting rooms spring up all around the Woodinville area in and around Seattle so people don't have to go as far to travel to taste those great wines.
Well, that's interesting. I had never heard that before, although I've certainly had a lot of Washington State wines, and by golly, they've been pretty good as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they are. You know, it was a statistic they pitched me a while back, but Washington State has received more 95-plus ratings than any other wine-growing region in the United States, and I think even in the world, because they just make really high caliber wines, and especially the Cabernets, because it is pretty warm out there in the Columbia Valley. You know, again, it's kind of a high plains desert where the Cabernet just thrives in that warmer conditions during the daytime. But then at night, you know, it does cool down to like about, you know, the 40s, even into maybe about the 50s. So, you know, the grapes can kind of relax a little bit, but then they get that intense heat during the day, and that's what a Cabernet loves, that thick skin of the Cabernet can just thrive in a warmer condition like that. But they also make some terrific Merlots, or the Andrew Will that's won all kinds of awards for his Merlot. And what you're kind of seeing is, again, they're trying to get their identity down pat, but you see a lot of Bordeaux blends where they will blend Merlot into that Cabernet to kind of soften up and make it, you know, just approachable, delicious, drinkable wine. But it's such an interesting thing. But the nice thing is, again, with the tourism that they're doing over in the Seattle side of things, so you will get some of that rain because of that the rain shadow effect. You'll be rainy on the Seattle side, but if once you cross over the Cascade Mountains, it's a dry desert. But again, it's kind of difficult to get to some of these places because it's kind of far away and a long, long road trip. And because of that too, they don't have a lot of infrastructure as far as hotels to go to, or, you know, guest rooms at the winery and things like that, where a lot of the hard work is done in the central area of the state, and the good work is done over on the western side close to Seattle.
Because of the geography, I guess it is kind of tough. Can you foresee, though, that changing and that other accommodations might be built, or do you think what you're seeing now is the way it's going to be for a while?
I think it's going to be that. Now, down in Walla Walla, there was a famous hotel that they've just expanded and got to it, and it's getting a little bit bigger. But I have a feeling since they're bringing it to the people, you're going to see that more over there as far as doing the tasting and purchasing over there, because there's a kind of neat community over there where you see a lot of small distilleries, you see some small breweries, and then you'll see a row of the wineries with their tasting rooms right there where you can buy. So it's kind of a little bit easier for people, and they kind of capitalize on the tourism side of things that Seattle definitely offers, you know, to get that kind of that wine purchasing going.
Now, if you were to be asked by someone who maybe doesn't try a whole lot of wine, but they want to, maybe they've never tried a Washington State wine, what would you recommend they begin with, red or white? What would you offer?
Well, I guess it depends on that one. It depends on what their personal preferences are, whether they do like a white wine or if they do like a red wine. I personally would say probably start with the red because that's their best foot forward. They're so rich and delicious, well-balanced wine, good acidity on the finish, and go so well with so many things. I would go that direction, you know, because you know, it's just me. But again, it would depend on the person as far as, you know, do they like the whites? Do they like reds? You know, if they like a sweeter wine, then maybe we'd move them into a Washington State Riesling, things like that. But there are so many wines to choose from that, you know, a great place to do that is to stop in at Haskell's and try those wines, right, Danny?
Well, absolutely, especially right now. It's sale time. Now, that gets underway, was it this weekend, right?
You are correct. Today is the kickoff of our fall wine sale in all the stores around Haskell's right now. It's a great way to try some wines, but also, you know, to kind of stock up. Winter is coming. You wouldn't know it today as far as being 80 degrees, whatnot, but winter is coming. It's a great time to stock up for all your holiday needs because there's some great wines out there. And again, in all the stores, we have the grand tasting from 1 o'clock to 4 where you can try before you buy. And, I mean, there is everything that any kind of wine lover would love to try. Right now, we're featuring, we have almost 90 BOGOs to set the world on fire. And, I mean, that's, and they range from buying one from $90 and getting one free all the way down to buying some that are $8 and get one free. So there's wines galore. Those BOGOs are so terrific because, you know, you get that second one free. So, you know, in my opinion, I always like to, you know, buy a little bit more. So you buy six bottles, you get six free. Now you have a case, and then you're ready for all these situations in the in the wintertime as far as with your grilling, whatnot. But all their wines will be there to taste. And so if you want to try a Cabernet from Washington, you can. Or if you want to try maybe even a little sparkling wine with the holidays coming up, you know, then try some bubbles. There's wines galore to taste. And it's a great time to stock up because there's so many great values. And again, the BOGOs especially are a fun way to do that because you buy one for a set price, you get the second one free. But then there's all kinds of other ones. Whether we have Magnums wine, we have a Chateauneuf du Pape on sale, which is just a steal that we're very excited about as well. But then we even have a Magnums of wine, the De La Sprere Cote de Rhone, where you buy one Magnum, get the second one free. And again, great for a dinner party to stock that stuff up, to sit that out on the table and, you know, show some people that have a little wow factor as well.
I should say. Now, tell us what a Magnum is versus like a regular 750-milliliter bottle.
A Magnum is double the size, a 1.5 size, rather than a 750. And a lot of people will argue that that is the best way to store your wine for long-term purposes, just for the simple fact that the cork-to-wine ratio, it's the same size cork as they do on a regular 750, but you have double the wine. So it just, you know, it's a little bit of a scientific proportion there between, you know, how the aging is. You know, sometimes on the bigger format, 3 liters, they put in bigger corks or whatnot. But they say a Magnum, which is twice the size of a 750, does that just brilliantly. And again, it's a fun way to kind of wow some people, putting that big bottle out on the table and people kind of taking, you know, getting amazed. I know some people will sign the Magnum when they're done because it was such a fun dinner party, but it's a great way to enjoy wine.
Excellent. Give us, in the last 30 seconds here before we take off for CBS, give us the locations, if you would, Ted.
I shall. So Haskell's Fall Wine Sale is going right now through the whole month of October. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekend, Haskell's in Minnetonka, Haskell's in Highland Village. We also have a Haskell's down in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in Excelsior. And then we have a Haskell's out in White Bear Lake, Stillwater, Plymouth, also down in Faribault. And don't miss our Haskell Super Cellar up in Maple Grove. And if you can't get into the store to try the tastings today, you can always go to Haskell's.com 24/7. Place that order. We'll get it delivered to you. You can come and pick it up.
Excellent. I'm going up to Maple Grove later today. Ted, have a safe trip back, and let's talk next Saturday.
I look forward to it, Denny.
Good deal. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.